ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुतः स्तुन्वन्ति दिव्यैस्तवैः वेदैः साङ्गपदक्रमोपनिषदैः गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुः सुरासुरगणाः देवाय तस्मै नमः। ॐ श्री परमात्मने नमः। So we're seeing, so Bhagwan was elaborating on Sattvika, Rajasa, Tamasa, Yajnaha, then also start talking about tapas. We've seen three types of food: Sattvika Ahara, Rajasa Ahara, Tamasa Ahara, etc. Then we are seeing three types of tapas. देवद्विज कुरु प्राज्ञ पूजनं शौचमार्जवं ब्रह्मचर्य महिंसा च शरीरं तप उच्यते। देवद्विज कुरु प्राज्ञ पूजनं शौचमार्जवं ब्रह्मचर्य महिंसा च शरीरं तप उच्यते। Missing after long 1 week's break of only 1 week time. So I said, this tapas alone, Bhagavad Gita and Krishna presents from two different angles. From the angle of gunas and from the angle of the three bodies also. So first, what is kayikam tapaha, vachikam tapaha and manasam tapaha? As a spiritual discipline, say we say kayikam, vachikam, manasam, tapaha, and these three also we understand from the standpoint of three gunas. So first he says, what is shariram tapaha? Even worship of devatas, worship of brahmanas, worship of teachers, worship of wise people, and taking care of one's purity, cleanliness, and being straightforward. Straightforward means one's physical activities must be in conformity with one's understanding of right and wrong. So, arjavam means straightforwardness, that is having the alignment of thought, word, and deed. And chastity, brahmacharyam, and also ahimsa, non-violence. And all these constitute shariram tapaha. This I elaborately discussed in my previous class. And now we're going to see what is vak tapas. Okay, discipline with reference to the speech is also very important. 15th verse I'm reading now. अनुद्वेगकरं वाक्यं सत्यं प्रियहितं च यत्। कम बैक टू द क्लास नाउ। ओके। अनुद्वेगकरं वाक्यं सत्यं प्रियहितं च यत्। स्वाध्यायाभ्यसनं चैव वाङ्मयं तप उच्यते। अनुद्वेगकरं वाक्यं सत्यं प्रियहितं च यत् स्वाध्यायाभ्यसनं चैव वाङ्मयं तप उच्यते। अनुद्वेगकरं वाक्यं सत्यं प्रियहितं च यत् స్వాధ్యాయాభ్యసనం చైవ వాంగ్మయం తప ఉచ్యతే. హియర్ ఇస్ ఇస్ వాట్ ఇస్ వాంగ్మయం తపః. తపస్ ఇస్ ఎ న్యూట్రల్ జెండర్ వర్డ్. బట్ వాట్ ఇస్ వాంగ్మయం తపస్? వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ సెట్ బి తపస్? ఆస్తిత్య పెనెన్స్ డిసిప్లిన్ ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ స్పీచ్. సి ఫాలోయింగ్ ద డిసిప్లిన్ ఇన్ టర్మ్స్ ఆఫ్ స్పీచ్ ఇస్ వాట్ వాంగ్మయం తపః, వాంగ్మయం తపస్. హి సేస్ వాక్యం యద్ వాక్యం అనుద్వేగకరం. సి ఉద్వేగకరం మీన్స్ థాట్లెస్లీ అట్టర్డ్ సెంటెన్స్, థాట్లెస్లీ అట్టర్డ్ స్పీచ్ ఈజ్ ఉద్వేగకరం వాక్యం. బట్ థాట్ఫుల్లీ అట్టర్డ్ స్పీచ్ విల్ నాట్ బి హర్ట్ఫుల్. హి సేస్ అన్ఉద్వేగకరం. అనుద్వేగకరం మీన్స్ నాన్ హర్ట్ఫుల్ స్పీచ్. డెఫినెట్లీ వన్ మస్ట్ టేక్ కేర్ ఆఫ్ వన్ వెన్ ఎవర్ వన్ ఓపెన్స్ అ మౌత్ అండ్ హ్యాపన్ టు if a person happens to say something, it must one must take care of one's words that they're not hurtful. Anudvegakaram, non hurtful. It is not enough it is non hurtful, it must be truthful also. So satyam. So vakyam means speech, the words. A speech must be anudvegakaram, non hurtful. Then satyam, truthful. At the same time, for the sake of, no, it must be priyahitam. Priyam and hitam. Priyam means speech must be pleasing, pleasant speech. And hitam means it must be useful, beneficial. So the four factors one must remember. One's speech must be non-hurtful, anudvegakaram. One speech must be satyam, definitely no lies, one should not lie, truthful, and it must be pleasing also. We can't, if the truth what you're going to speak is not please, going to be pleasant, pleasing truth, then better keep quiet. So it must be priyahitam, and it must be useful, beneficial, either for the speaker, at least for the listener, or for both of them. If it is not going to be useful for the speaker or for the listener, then such a speech must be avoided. So four important factors: non-hurtful, truthful, pleasing, and beneficial, useful. So anudvegakaram vakyam, satyam vakyam, priyahitam vakyam, priyam vakyam, hitam vakyam. Priyam and hitam are put together as priyahitam. Priyam, pleasing, pleasant. Hitam, beneficial, useful. Okay. Then, swadhyayabhyasanam. Swadhyayaha is what now? Swadhyayaha means regular study of the shastram. One must develop this habit of regularly studying the subject matter of the shastram. Even now, in those days, swadhyaya means studying the mantras of the branch of one's own, the special branch of Veda. But now, nobody is studying Veda. The swadhyaya should be understood as one must really allot some time, especially for studying the scriptures, the shastra study. Swadhyayaha. Why? Because if you are given to the discipline of studying the shastram, little by little, and you understand subtle facts, because studying shastram will help a person, remind a person always repeatedly of the importance and value of dharma. The more and more the person listens to the shastram, the more he'll be reminded of dharma, the more he'll be able to, he'll be inspired to live a life of dharma. At least somehow he'll be, repeated listening will help a person follow dharma. Therefore, and dharma anushtanam will help him have a subtle mind. Subtle mind will help him to be qualified for the attainment of jnana. Therefore, it's very important to be given to the discipline of studying this shastram, subject matter of this shastram. Swadhyaya. தென் அபியசனம், சுவாத்தியாய அபியசனம். சுவாத்தியாய அபியசனம் மீன்ஸ் ரெகுலர்லி ஸ்டடியிங் சப்ஜெக்ட் மேட்டர் ஆஃப் தி சாஸ்திரம். அண்ட் ஆல் தீஸ் டுகெதர் செட் டு பி வாங்மயம் தபஹ உச்சதே. வாங்மயம் தபஹ உச்சதே. சோ வாட் இட் இஸ் செட், த ஸ்பீச் விச் இஸ் நாட் ஹார்ம்ஃபுல், வாக்கியம் அனுத்வேகரம் வாக்கியம், that speech which is not harmful, not hurtful, non-offending, and the speech which is satyam, with the truth, speech which is truthful, and priyahitam cha, which is pleasant and beneficial or useful, then swadhyaya abhyasanam, and regular study of, being given regular study of subject matter of the shastram. All these are said to be penance, austerity with reference to oral activity. Okay, you can say oral penance or verbal austerity. Okay, now after having discussed in the previous verse the shariram tapaha, physical tapas with reference to physical body, now in this verse Bhagavan discusses the vak tapas, verbal discipline, or the discipline in terms of speech. See, the vak indriyam, we have 10 organs, 5 organs of knowledge and 5 organs of actions. Of the 5 organs of actions, and one of the organs of actions is what? Organ of speech. It's called vak indriyam. Vagindriyam. And Bhagavan, and here specifically he chooses this Vagindriyam, a Karmendriya. See, the hands are Karmendriyas. There's a power in our hands, the power in our legs, there's a power in our reproductive organ, so power in our excretory organ. So Bhagavan, leaving aside all the other 4 organs of actions, he specifically picks up this Vagindriyam, the organ of speech. And here he does not even include the Jnana Indriyani. But specifically he takes only Vagindriyam. Which means, of all the 5 organs of actions, of all the 5 subtle powers of organs of actions, Vagindriyam is really highly powerful. Why? Because Vagindriyam is used for 2 purposes. For eating, the tongue is used for 2 purposes. For eating, tongue is used. For speaking, also tongue is used. Okay? And tongue is used. But still here, the organ of speech specifically taken here. So it is said, always one must take care of, one must have a certain degree of mastery over one's eating habit and also speaking. Okay. The tongue is involved in both activities, eating and speaking. But definitely, one must take care of this organ of speech. And even though we say human being is the most exalted of all the living beings, because he is endowed with the knowledge of self-existence, he is a person of self-consciousness, and he is blessed with the free will, he has knowledge of right and wrong, he can choose to do his actions, and he is eligible to discover his own essential nature. Therefore, human being is highly exalted, superior being, most exalted of all the living beings. It is said, we do know this. But now, one more thing, what makes a human being special and superior is, human being alone is blessed with this. Not only human being is blessed with the special intelligence, that is the knowledge of self-existence, human being is also blessed with his capacity to communicate his ideas. Only human being can communicate, only he can speak. Therefore, which other animal can speak? None. Well, they all make their own noises, sounds. But still, it is human being who alone is blessed with a much greater intellectual power, intelligence, and he is blessed with the capacity to communicate his ideas. Therefore, and one should not abuse it. One must make the proper use of one's organ of speech. So this faculty, this human being is capable of speaking, communicating, and this also differentiates the human being from other living beings. Suppose if a person cannot speak at all, if we are also like animals, if human beings also have been made like animals, that if we are not able to communicate anything, then imagine there's no communication means no expressions of ideas, no expressions of thoughts, and no, really the world would have become very boring and then dull world. But the speech, the capacity to speak makes the world very different. So even the words which we write also, expressions of what only what we want to speak. So written form, the words written form is also actually expression of one's words only. Therefore, what is written also is actually nothing but one speech only. If a person has to be, one of the disciplines is disciplining this one speech, because a human being anyway is aspiring for peaceful mind. The peace of mind, one can be peaceful only if whatever one expresses doesn't contribute for any hurt. Because our ideas alone are expressed through our words. So if you want to make anything intelligible, one has to only communicate. And here, the words, when you're all your interactions involving the speech must be very very, very consciously expressed. So he says, the speech is very powerful one because it gets expressed through my mouth, and which implies what? The power being manifest. Word is an expression of manifestation of knowledge. That is why Vak is also known as Saraswati Devi. Word also is what? Knowledge. Word is Bhagavan. Word is a Bhagavan. Speech is Bhagavan because words are nothing but expressions of manifestations of knowledge, which is Ishvara. So knowledge itself, manifest knowledge is Ishvara. The source of knowledge is Ishvara, and expression of knowledge of word also is Bhagavan. But those words can be used for some constructive purpose, used for some destructive purpose also. Therefore, even though Bhagavan has blessed us with the capacity to speak, definitely one must take care. How? That's what he said. See that the words one utter, definitely, if you follow strictly the value of values, if you know the value of values, if you strictly follow values, then the values must be followed in our speech also. So I'm very conscious, not only physically, even orally, whatever I say, I see that it doesn't hurt others, doesn't hurt the feelings of other person. Therefore, And as the words coming out of one's mouth are very powerful. And see, because Agni Bhagavan is the presiding deity of the organ of speech. Agni Bhagavan is the presiding deity of the Vagindriyam. Devata is Agni Bhagavan. Therefore, what happens? The words are very powerful, very strong. Means the words can really be very hot, harsh. You know, the words can contribute for spreading of the smoke. It can hurt. It can burn. It can be harsh. Okay, already worked in Indriya. Agni Bhagavan happens to be the presiding deity of the organ of speech. The words which come out are also very powerful. So if we take care of the words, why I should be conscious of what I'm speaking? Because what I'm speaking, what I'm communicating will contribute for my other's peace of mind, and also for me, especially for my own peace of mind. If the words uttered are uttered properly, intelligently, carefully, even the words can even bless a person with the attainment of even moksha, attainment of peace of mind, which means one cannot speak whatever one comes to my mind. Definitely before one speaks out, the Karma Yoga law, the way of life has to be followed in this act of speaking also. Therefore, one must take care that one's words do not hurt. Whatever I speak must be non-hurtful words. And not only that, not for the sake of not hurting also, we don't need to tell lies. Whatever I speak must be the truth. If the truth happens to hurt other person, better not to speak the truth also. We need not speak all the truths. Definitely we not speak all the truths, but whatever we speak must be the truth, but we do not speak all the truths. So one must speak only what is relevant, what is important, what is necessary, and that what is important, necessary, must be useful for the listener or for the speaker or for both of them. So it must be non-hurtful. And it must be truthful also. Just because it doesn't mean we should speak all the truths. And what we speak must be pleasing. It must be pleasing words. And pleasing, at the same time, it must be hitam. It must be beneficial for the speaker and the listener. These are the norms one should follow when a person happens to talk to anybody. And which means, when a person is speaking, one must take the responsibility. That means a person has the responsibility. A person is responsible. Which means the person's responsibility means one should take care of the words which go out of one's mouth. The thoughts may come and they may get formed into words also. But whatever words go out of one's mouth, they must be take carefully understood and seen that which words go out, which words do not go out. And why I should not hurt others? Because hurting, if I hurt, I go against universal values. See, not only physical wounding, even morally hurting the feelings of others also is a himsa, and it will disturb the universal order. We don't know, sometimes we take it for granted. Definitely, whatever we speak, whether we were able to speak all the truths or not, we can keep quiet without speaking all the truths. But whatever we speak must be the truth, and the truth must be non-hurtful, non-offending. it must be pleasing also. It must be a pleasant fact. And just for the sake of pleasing, why we need not tell, we should not tell lies. Whatever I speak must be pleasing words, but it should not contribute for on hurting. It should not be a lie also. That is said here. So, and if a, as a spiritual aspirant, I'm living this life itself ultimately for discovering the truth, absolute reality means. And the mind, a person, Shastri said, a person who strictly follows this discipline of truthfulness in one's speech, definitely will have a very subtle mind soon. Because to be truthful always, not to tell a lie at all. Consciously to be truthful always, you know, one must be very, very alert. And this alertness one maintains in order to be truthful, not to be hurtful, and also to be a person of pleasing and useful expressions. One must be very alert, and this alertness in due course of time will contribute for very, very fine, subtle intellect. Thereby, understanding of the teaching also will be possible. Because that is how following these four disciplines in speech will help a person live a life of dharma. Thereby, it also contributes for mental preparation required for the attainment of jnanam. The next verse. Manav prasada saumyatvam maunamatma vinigraha bhavasam shuddhirityetat tapomanasamuchyate. Manav prasada saumyatvam maunamatma vinigraha bhavasam shuddhirityetat tapomanasamuchyate. Manav prasada saumyatvam maunamatma vinigraha bhavasam shuddhirityetat tapomanasamuchyate. Okay, now in the 16th verse, Bhagavan talks about the mental discipline. It is manasam tapaha. See, vachikam tapas is a discipline with reference to speech. Now, manasam tapaha. He says, manah prasadaha. Prasadaha literally means grace. But here, the word prasadaha means tranquility, serenity. Serenity, tranquility, peacefulness, quietude. This is the meaning of the word prasadaha. So, manah prasadaha means tranquility of the mind, serenity, mental serenity is meant by the word manas prasadaha. Then saumyatvam. Saumyatvam means gentleness. See, your external behavior shows your mind. Saumyatvam. Saumya means beauty. Saumyatvam implies gentleness, softness. Then maunam. Maunam literally means silence. And atma vinigraha means what? Again, here the word atma means mind. So atma vinigraha means mastery over one's ways of thinking. Mastery over one's sense or mind. Mastery over one's mind is what? People say mind control. Mental restrain. Or mental discipline. Atma vinigraha means mental discipline in terms of having mastery over one's own mind. Atma vinigraha. Then bhava samshuddhihi. Samshuddhihi here means again the purity. And bhava means the intention, motive behind any behavior, any action. We want to do something, intention or the motive behind an action must be pure intention, clean intention, clean motive. So having clean, pure motive behind any activity is called what? Bhava samshuddhihi. One motive of doing anything must be pure. So purity of the intention, purity of the intention of an action, purity of the motive of an action, what behind the action is bhava samshuddhihi. So manaprasadaha, mental tranquility, maunam, silence, atma vinigraha, mastery over one's mind, bhava samsuddhihi, purity of intention and the motive behind any action. Iti etat, is having said that all this is said to be what? Manasam tapaha, mental penance or mental austerity. So taking care of these factors contribute for what? Constitute manasam tapaha, mental penance or mental austerity. So mental serenity, softness or gentleness, silence, mastery over one's mind, and more purity of intention behind an action. All these together form the mental penance. Manasam tapaha. Manasam tapaha, mental austerity. Now, Bhagavan takes up this tapas, the reference to manaha, mind. In fact, tapas, any tapas is difficult. No tapas is easy. Because tapas itself, the very word tapas means what? Penance means the commitment, practicing anything with the commitment becomes tapas. And here, any tapas is difficult. And here the most difficult tapas is what? Manasam tapaha. So having control over one's mind involves great effort. See, grosser the instrument, easy to control it, easy to manage it. But subtler the instrument, and it's difficult to manage because it's a tough thing. So mind is the subtlest of everything. Therefore, it is much more difficult to practice this manasam tapaha. And here, the two things, organ of speech is external, the standpoint of the mind. Just now we have seen vagindriyam. And here vag is the bahya indriyam, external instrument. And mind is the internal instrument. The internal instrument, mind, antahkarna mind, and speech, which is a bahya indriyam, external indriyam. So there must be, now vagindriyam itself is subtle, but manaha indriyam, antahkarna happens to be the subtle, innermost, subtlest. It is more difficult to manage this, follow these disciplines. And first he says, first of all, what is mental discipline? One must see, one must take care of one's mental discipline. Discipline means, first of all, one must see one's mind is not unnecessarily disturbed by anything. Maintaining one's mental, peace of mind, maintaining one's peace of mind, is in fact manaprasadaha. Manaprasadaha means the mind can be peaceful, the peaceful, quiet, serene mind is manaprasadaha. If one has to free oneself from unnecessary, unwanted strain, one has to free oneself from unwanted strain means mental stress. And this, in fact, freeing, there's no stress. Really speaking, if a person is free from mental strain and mental stress, mental agitation, then it is easy for one to be free from all their problems. Therefore, the first thing, taking care of one's mind, that one should not get unnecessarily stressed mentally, means taking care of one's mind, that thereby it doesn't, not allowing it to become stressed itself is what? Mental manasaprasa, manaha. Manaprasadaha, mental discipline. But because if the mind is not serene, then the mind has some stress, then there'll be disturbance. Therefore, manaprasadaha is the most important of all the mental disciplines. One must somehow maintain this. And Bhagavad Gita, of course, Bhagavad Gita, everywhere Krishna says, manaprasadaha is possible. One need not go anywhere. One can have mastery over one's mind, ways of thinking, only by living a life of dharma. There's no shortcut method. We can pray to Bhagavan, we can worship Bhagavan, seek Bhagavan's grace, but still Bhagavan cannot make our minds. Bhagavan can only bless us with a strong will. If we pray to Bhagavan to bless us with a strong will, to do the right thing. In fact, only if we can tap Bhagavan's grace, only if we live a life of dharma. Therefore, living a life of dharma implies what? Mainly for taking care of one's antahkaranam. And if the dharma is not followed, naturally, mind will be overpowered by emotions. Mind will be a slave of desires. And that mind will be restless and agitated. The only way of maintaining one's mental serenity is being committed to live a life of dharma and living one's life without transgressing the universal values. Otherwise, there's no way of maintaining one's mental tranquility, mental serenity. In fact, it is said one must take care of one's mental serenity. How? Only by living a life of karma yoga, by living a value, life of values. So even if we happen to plan for the future activities, okay, I had to buy this house, I had to do this, I had to arrange this, budget like this. So we may have too many programs. We do have to plan our future. So some people mistake. They do not want to think of the future. They do not plan for the future. They mistake the planning for the future to be something. Really speaking, it is a deliberate action. If I have to plan what I should be doing next month and next year, how I should go ahead. You're planning for nothing wrong, but planning for the future is not something mechanical. It's a deliberate, thoughtful action. Is it important or not? Of course, planning for one's future is very important. It's important, deliberate action. It's a great thing to be, to have plans in one's life. It is fine. But what Shastram says is, planning for one's future, planning for one's future is a deliberate action, but at the same time, the mind is uncontrollably wandering, mind is unnecessarily worried, and the mind is anxious, then the anxious, restless, agitated, worrying mind, that mind is not a deliberate action. So planning for the future is a deliberate action, whereas worrying for the future is not a deliberate action. Worrying for the future is a reaction. Oh, what is going to happen? Whether this person will come or not, whether he's going to get a job or not, whether we're going to earn this much or not, whether he'll be able to buy that or not. Always worrying about future is not action, it is reaction. But if we thoughtfully plan what we are going to do, how we are going to do, how it must be, present, etc. If already planning for the future is done, it is action. Worrying for the future, worrying about the future is different from planning for the future. So worrying about the future is not planning, and planning for the future is not unnecessarily worrying. And if a person is manasam tapaha, means gradually, whenever some worry about regarding the future comes immediately, we must entertain appropriate thinking that worrying for the future must be changed into proper, relaxed planning for the future. Then you are maintaining your peace of mind. That's what Bhagavan first says. Manav prasada means one must always be thoughtful and prudent. One must take care of one's. One must maintain a restlessness, free agitation, free calm mind. Then once with the calm, as a calm-minded person, without any anxiety about others or anything, your person can plan. Even as a serene-minded person, when a person plans, and even once one can be more efficient and more contributive in one's activities. So planning will help a person to be more efficient in one's work. Whereas worrying about the future is a reaction, it is not an action. Thereby, in fact, worrying about the future will kill the efficiency of the person. If you are worried about the future, you are doing something, it will make the work very inefficient. So without worrying, if you plan, then it becomes efficient. It contributes for efficiency also. So really what is implied is we must know the difference between planning for the future and worrying about the future. Worrying about the future will not change the future. Because planning for the future will definitely bless a person with what he needs to achieve in life. Called manav prasadaha. So whenever we plan, you have to ask the question, am I planning for the future or am I worried about my future? Your worrying means whether it is you are worried about your son or daughter or yourself or your wife or husband, whoever is worrying for another person, especially family members, they're not going to change the situation. Therefore, that instead of worrying about the future, one must plan for one's future. And making use of one's will, one must, by living a life of dharma, is the only way one can maintain one's manav prasadaha. Then what is Saumyatvam? Saumyatvam means having entertaining the gentle thoughts. In fact, if the thoughts are gentle thoughts, we call that mental condition what? Saumyatvam. The beauty of the mind. The mind enjoys the status of having the beauty because there is gentleness of thoughts. That is what is said to be Saumyatvam. In fact, if the question comes, what do we mean by saying gentleness of thoughts or gentle thoughts? So, manasam tapaha means maintaining one's mental serenity, but not being disturbed by anything. So instead of worrying about the future, one must start planning for the future. That is how we can sustain this discipline of manasam. Manav prasadaha. We understood. Now, Saumyatvam implies the entertaining the gentle thoughts means. See, having a gentle thought is nothing but remembering the fact. Okay? We have to remember the fact. What is the fact? See, whatever words we are speaking, all the words we are speaking are nothing but, you know, our thoughts. Thoughts alone become formed into words. Thoughts alone become crystallized into words. So, if thoughts alone become, the thoughts alone become the words, and the words alone become again action also. Thoughts alone become words, thoughts alone become the action also. Therefore, one must be conscious of the words one uses. We have already seen. If you are conscious of not speaking untruthful words, not speaking irrelevant verses, if you are conscious of the words. Because the thoughts don't become the words. If the words have to be pure words, the words have to be truthful words, the word must, if have to be non-hurting words, the words have to be, you know, useful words, beneficial words, then naturally one must see that all the thought, before the words become expressed, one must take care of one's thoughts. See, before we should express something, we should see whether it is what is being expressed is true or not. Whether it is non-hurtful or not. Therefore, this is called manas saumyatva, means entertaining thoughts and which alone would be crystallized into words. And taking care of those thoughts is what, no, entertaining, pleasing thoughts. The thoughts which would not involve a person any hurtful, offending activities. It is Saumyatvam. That is why, in order to have Saumyatvam, it is, people used to say, if you drink honey, you will be a person of sweet words. And people go into Abhishekam for Devi. If people, they'll say, if you do Abhishekam for Devi with the honey, and you'll become a person of sweet words. Really speaking, one must always have a clear, the serenity is there, the commitment to Dharma is there, and the thinking itself will be in the right order, which means the whatever words come, we will not be expressing, because we are conscious of Dharma. So that is, so even if some wrong thoughts come, and intellectually, one has to resolve those thoughts in one's own mind. So, if the thoughts which enable a person do gentle actions and speak gentle words, then that mind is what? That mind has gentle thoughts. So, external behavior is gentle, means one must have gentle thinking also. Gentle thinking contributes for gentle expressions and gentle performances. So it can be physical, oral, and mental. All actions must be expressions of one's gentleness. That is saumyatvam. If you want to be a person of sweet words, pleasing words, then you take care of your gentleness of thoughts, for which one must pray to Bhagavan, one must seek Bhagavan's grace. Okay? Really, one must pray to Bhagavan. So in order to be a person of truthful, non-hurtful, pleasing, useful words, one's mind must entertain gentle thoughts. When that is possible, the mind entertains rough thoughts, and how can expressions of thoughts would be different? Okay, then gentle thoughts, then Atma, and one must also seek Bhagavan, intensely pray to Bhagavan and ask for having this gentle thoughts. Next is Atma Vinigraha. Atma Vinigraha literally means mind control. Here, how we should take it is directing one's thoughts in a proper path is Atma Vinigraha. It means in order to Atma Vinigraha implies what? Having mastery over one's thoughts means one must take care of the healthy. One must entertain healthy, happy thoughts, healthy, and one must really see that unhealthy thoughts do not rise. We can't control them. So the more and more and more we have thoughts properly directed, then naturally our speech and words also will become more and more sattvic. So, Atma Vinigraha. Then, Maunam. Maunam literally means silence. I mean, oral silence, verbal silence. It is not simply not speaking orally. Maunam means even you must be entertaining so many thoughts in the mind uncontrollably. Mentally, you cannot keep silent. But the Maunam implies here, generally, verbal silence alone is said to be Maunam. And Bhagavan says, there is a Maunam, Manasa Maunam is Tapaha. So Shankaracharya says, even though the word Maunam literally means keeping, maintaining silence, remaining silent is a vaktapas. It's a oral silence, verbal silence. Even to be quiet. In order to be silent orally, to speak only what is necessary and relevant, otherwise to speak without speaking anything, without saying anything, to remain quiet also, to have the gentle thoughts, even saumyatvam, even to have maunam, it's very important to practice maunam, manasa maunam. Because if a person has manas maunam, then what there'll be, the words which come out of mouth will be definitely in keeping with the rules one has to follow in speaking. So Shankaracharya says, maunam is nothing but having mastery over one's mind. Thereby, if a person has mastery over one's mind, then one can have ability to silence one's speech. The mind control expressed in the form of ability to silence one's speech, oral speech, is said to be manasam, manas monam, as a mental discipline. The manasa maunam is that which enables a person to silence this speech. You don't speak much means what? You don't have nothing much to speak. Which means you are very conscious. See, if you are very conscious of speaking only the truth, only what is beneficial to you and others, and or others at least, and the words are truthful, then non-hurtful and useful, beneficial. If it follow this strict discipline, then naturally you will become a person of very little speech. Become a person of few words because you are strictly following the rules. All those disciplines, vaktapas. If you strictly follow the vaktapas, we will become person of few words. We won't be speaking unnecessarily. So Shankara Bhagavatpada says, if a person has manasa maunam, mental maunam, then that will be very helpful for him to have mastery over one's word, follow the oral tapas also. Then Atma vinigraha means what? Managing one's thoughts. What we have seen, manasa, atmavinigraha, nothing but the same thing. Again, for having his mastery over one's mind and ways of thinking, Shastra repeatedly says, without feeling tired of repeating, one must consciously live a life of dharma, knowing what I'm doing it for. If you are able to follow this, then you have. So consciously, thoughtfully living a life of dharma, being conscious of everything that you are doing is what? Having mastery over one's thinking thoughts, that is atmavinigraha. And bhava samshuddhi, already as told you, having this for both. Entertaining clean thoughts. And before whatever action we want to do, and before doing that action, there must be a purpose for which the action is done, or there must be some motive behind the action, and one must take care the motive behind any action. What I speak or what I do definitely does not involve any adharma. The intention and motive behind the action must be pure intention and clean motive. Then we can say the person has bhava samshuddhi. So always having right motive, proper motive, proper intention behind an action is bhava samshuddhi. Okay. Now with this, Bhagavan's discussion on the topic of tapas is over. And now, from the following verse onwards, Bhagavan is going to discuss, okay, in the following three verses, he's going to discuss, tapas based on the division of organs is over. So, kayikam tapas, vachikam tapas, manasam tapas. So, the Bhagavan's discussion on the topic of tapas based on the instrument, the organ, is over. Now, Bhagavan is going to discuss the same tapas again, dividing tapas into three as what based on the gunas. What is Tasatvikam tapaha. Now we understood what is vachikam, kayikam, manasam tapaha. And now we are going to understand tapas from the angle of gunas, based on gunas. Now in the following verses, he is going to discuss what is sattvikam tapaha, rajasam tapaha and tamasam tapaha.
Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastat trividham naraihi tapas.
Okay, 17th verse.
Shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastat trividham naraihi tapastat trividham naraihi shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastat trividham naraihi tapastat trividham naraihi aphala kaankshibhir yuktaihi aphala kaankshibhir yuktaihi sattvikim parichakshate shraddhaya paraya taptam
sattvikam tapaha
shraddhaya paraya taptam tapastat trividham naraihi aphala kaankshibhir yuktaihi sattvikam parichakshate aphalakaankshibhir yuktaihi sattvikam parichakshate.
Now first he says, what is sattvikam tapaha? Okay, this. See, parichakshate is a word which means say, declare, reveal. And who reveal? We have to take always wise people reveal. The people of wisdom, they say, we will not take if somebody else says. Okay? Bhagavan says, Krishna says, this is what the wise people say, wise people declare. Parichakshate. What do they say? Tat trividham tapaha. Tat tapaha trividham. That the tapas is threefold again. How tapas we understood as threefold from the standpoint of the three instruments. Now again wise people say the tapas is threefold. Tapaha trividham. What is that? Trividham. First he defends sattvikam tapaha.
Paraya shraddhaya taptam naraihi. See naraihi. Yuktaihi naraihi shraddhaya taptam tapaha. You can say naraihi yuktaihi apalakangshibhi taptam tapaha paraya shraddhaya taptam tapaha sattvikam tapaha. Is what is sattvikam tapaha?
See, the people who are predominantly sattvic in nature, the discipline strictly followed by disciplined people is sattvikam tapaha. People who are predominantly sattvic. Like already we have seen, this food eaten by sattvic people is sattvikam, sattvika ahara. Similarly, the tapas followed by, practiced by people who are predominantly sattvic is known as sattvikam tapaha. And who are the sattvic people? Who are the people who are predominantly sattvic? And the tapas followed by whom becomes a sattvikam tapaha, sattvic tapas. So here Bhagavan says, naraihi, by people. Okay. First of all, the tapas practiced, the discipline practiced. See, tapas is nothing but discipline. Okay. Any discipline followed, practiced with the total commitment for a given end Any discipline practiced with a total commitment for a given end is called tapas. Now, the tapas practiced with what? Not carelessly. When a person practices something with a strictly the commitment for a given end, then naturally he must have shraddha. Therefore, paraya shraddhaya taptam tapaha. So any discipline practiced with total commitment, strictly, becomes a tapas. And if the tapas is practiced with the shraddha, the tapas is practiced with the shraddha, then that tapas is sattvikam tapaha. And by whom it must be followed? It must be practiced with the shraddha. Then, by whom? By people. Narehi. And who are these people? All are people only. Yuktaihi apalakangshibihi. Two important words. Yuktaha means one who is the person of integration, integrity. Yuktaha, the word of yuktaha means the one whose thought, word and deed are in alignment, one whose thought, word and deed are identical, he is called yuktaha. So, disciplined person. So, any these tapas practiced with the shraddha by people who are highly disciplined. Highly disciplined means whose thought, word and deed are identical, in alignment. And which means what? Being a disciplined person means having one's thought, word and deed in alignment. Having one's thought, word and deed in alignment means what? Being committed to live a life of dharma. Therefore, any tapas practiced with shraddha by those people who are highly disciplined, whose thought, word and deed are the integrated minded people are in alignment, and thereby because who are totally committed to live a life of dharma, then not only that, apalakangshibihi means they must be performing many activities and they must be practicing this tapas also. And practice as tapas is not for any, the purpose is very very clear. Apalakangshibihi means the people who are practicing the tapas without being attached to the benefits of practicing the tapas. People who are not attached to the benefits of practicing tapas are said to be apalakangshibihi. So whatever they do, and they may want the results, they may be want the benefits, but they're not at all attached to the results. So, apalakangshibihi means the people who do all their duties and actions, people who practice even this tapas, without being attached to the results of actions. And who can be apalakangshi? Only a person who has purushatanischaya. The person who has purushatanischaya, for whom moksha is the goal, who knows the value of jnanam, because he knows knowledge is the only means of attainment of moksha. Thereby he is totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam. And because he is totally committed to the pursuit of jnanam, he is totally committed to Bhagavan. Therefore, he performs everything only for preparing his mind for jnanam. Therefore, he is not attached to any of the results of actions or his even tapas, disciplines he is practicing. So, apalakangshibihi paraya shraddhaya. See, apalakangshibihi yuktaihi narehi paraya shraddhaya taptam tapaha sattvikam tapaha. Okay. The tapas followed by people of predominantly sattvic in nature, and who have great shraddha in what are they doing, and they're people of integration, that they thought, word and deed are in alignment, which means they strictly follow the universal values, and which means they're also, they must be having purushatnischa, etc. Therefore, who are not at all attached to the results of actions, who perform the actions for the results, but still they are attached to the results of actions, means they are not dependent on results for their happiness. Because for them, they depend only on Bhagavan in the name of truth for their happiness and security. They were here, but here in this Krishna says, the wise people declare the threefold austerity which is practiced, with the great, with the faith by those people who are highly disciplined and who are not attached to the results of actions is said to be a sattvikaha purushaha. Sattvikaha tapas, sattvikam tapas. And the tapas followed by a sattvik person is sattvikam tapas. And Bhagavan says, trividham tapaha, threefold discipline practiced by people vachikam kayikam manasam tapas and practiced with shraddha, practiced by disciplined people who are committed to dharma and who are not attached to results of actions, results of the disciplines, who are attached. And that tapas is what? Sattvikam tapas. See, again, all karma yogi only. Apalakangshi means what? Karma yogi. So any discipline strictly, any tapas followed by a karma yogi is what? Sattvikam tapas. Simple. Then what is now? Satkaramana pojartham tapodambhena chaivayat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalamadhruvam. Satkaramana pojartham tapodambhena chaivayat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalamadhruvam. Satkaramana pojartham tapodambhena chaivayat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalamadhruvam. Satkaramana pojartham tapodambhena chaivayat kriyate tadiha proktam rajasam chalamadhruvam. So any vachikam tapas, kaikam tapas, manasam tapas practiced by a karma yogi, a person who is person of disciplined minded person, a person of integration, who is predominantly sattvic, that tapas is sattvikam tapaha. Tapas followed by a sannyasi or a karma yogi, both are committed to dharma. Both have purushartha nischaya. Therefore, sattvikam tapaha. Now, what is rajasam tapaha? See, anything can be said to be sattvic only if a person strictly follows the universal values. I didn't want to elaborate on this, you know. I can just go on and on and talk for very long. But very simple thing is, Bhagavan repeatedly emphasizes living a life of karma yoga only. If you understand karma yoga and you follow that lifestyle strictly and you're following all the disciplines. Because living a life of karma yoga means total commitment to live a life of values. Then what happens? That whatever you practice becomes sattvikam tapas. Whatever you do become what? Whatever is done by karma yogi is a sattvikam. Danam will be sattvikam danam. Ahara will be sattvika ahara. Tapas will be sattvika ahara. Sattvika ahara sattvikam. Tapas sattvika yajna. Whatever as a karma yogi, whatever a person does, that becomes only
the behavior of a person of who is predominantly sattvic. Everything becomes sattvic. We do not have purushartha nischaya. You are not committed to the pursuit of jnanam and Bhagavan. And if you do not know the value of dharma, and if you do not live a life of dharma, then whatever tapas you practice, what tapas is it? No? Now people like Ravana, they all practice tapas. But having artha kama as the ultimate goals. Tapas was practiced only for their power and abuse of the power. Power and wealth, artha kamas. Very tamasic and rajasic tapas. Anyway, that's why it is the purushartha nischaya, commitment to the pursuit of jnanam, thereby commitment to live a life of dharma, and with entertaining proper attitude, whatever a person practices, that becomes sattvikam. Sattvikam tapaha sattvikaha, aharaha sattvikaha, yajnaha sattvikam dhanam. Now, in this verse, Bhagavan says, that austerity, yat kriyate, that the austerity, the tapas which is practiced, for what? Dambena, with pretense. I practice some tapas means, I really do not follow sincerely, but I practice with the pretense. So if tapas is practiced with the pretense, dambhena means with the pretense for showing off that I'm following tapas, for showing off one's to other people, if tapas is practiced with the pretense, and also, oh, this person is practicing all this tapas, this person is a tapasvi. So people of tapas are always highly revered in society, Vedic society. So, satkaramana pujartham. If a person practices tapas, not for antakkarna shuddhi, not for antakkarna ischalyam, not for the sake of living a life of dharma, not even for preparing one's mind for jnanam, but simply the person practices tapas, okay, with the pretense, and satkaramana pujartham. And what is the purpose? The purpose of practicing the tapas also determines whether it is sattvic or rajasic. Now, satkaramana pujartham. Satkaraha means praise, the honor. Puja, satkaraha, mana, three things are there. Satkaraha means praise. Mana means honor. Puja means worship. So, satkaratham, manartham, pujartham. If a penance is practiced for the sake of glorification, one's praise, for the sake of becoming famous, for the sake of being glorified, and for the sake of being honored, oh, this person is tapasvi, means people will honor him, respect him. So for the sake of respect, for the sake of being praised by others, and for the sake of being worshipped by others. People should honor me. People should glorify me. People should praise me. People should worship me. People should revere me, respect me. So, if for the sake of one's own praise, honor and worship, with the pretense if tapas is practiced, that tapas is what? Rajasic. Rajasam tama. Rajasam tapas. Proktam iha means it is said here. Hacha tapas is what? Rajasik tapas. And what is the benefit of practicing such tapas? And the benefit also will be very, very time bound, temporary benefit only. Chalam, adhruvam. Adhruvam means practicing tapas as a Rajasa, as a person of predominantly Rajasic person. If a tapas is practiced, then the tapas becomes what? Rajasam tapas. And that the benefit of such tapas will be very temporary, time bound.
And definitely it is what now? It is not certain. It's not firm. Because you can make out. Only people for whom artha kamas are the ultimate goals. And the fame, name, popularity. They're not interested in jnanam or moksha. So they're not very conscious of dharma also. But still they practice this tapas only for the sake of showing off, only for the pretense they practice, and for the sake of one's praise. People should praise him as a tapasvi. I should be honored as a tapasvi. I should be bowed to, worshipped as a tapasvi. For that purpose, when they practice, acha tapas is what tapas? It's a very highly rajasic. So, tapas practiced by people who are predominantly rajasic in nature, it becomes what? Rajasam tapas. Okay, I think we'll continue next class. Is it all right? Bear with me these lessons, these weeks, classes. And we'll enter, once 18th chapter will enter, is going to be the epitome of the entire Bhagavad Gita again. And in fact, Shankara Bhagavatpada has written, I tell you, 40, 38 pages of commentary on one verse. So, verses are there in 18th chapter will be a serious lesson before we conclude Bhagavad Gita. And this chapter will be a simple lesson for us. Still, just to, for us to be reminded of the same thing. Now you can see how Karma Yoga is taught in different ways, isn't it? That's why I didn't really elaborate much on these verses. Okay. So it's good that you all could participate in today's class, and we'll continue. Anyway, even being in Bhagavad Gita class, something, even the repetition, you know, some same things are taught, still it's a commitment. You are with Bhagavan, you are with the Shastram, you are with Dharma, you are with yourself. Being with Shastram is being with one's own self. You're repeatedly reminded of your commitment to your pursuit of Jnanam and Dharma. That is the most beautiful thing about Bhagavad Gita. Sometimes, of course, people, no, I just want only vision. I'm not interested in all these things. People may say, I know all of us are craving only for the vision, not for these simple disciplines and laws. But still, Gita has to, it's part of the teaching has to be in such a way that everything must be emphatically presented, isn't it? It's also a test for us, how we're able to handle the situation. Having to listen to repeated teaching without feeling tired of it. Okay. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.